I can. We have some children's story for them to listen. Today we're going to talk about the. I thought they are here. They're here. But anyway, since I prepared, I would share with you too. Because during Jesus' time, the famous road is the road that Romans built. So Roman roads are very famous in European countries. Over even England, they have Roman roads. And Roman roads, this is the way they construct. This is the bottom. And this is second level. And the third level, the fourth level. So you see there are layers that they construct the road with good solid ground. So they can hold on for long, long years. Even today, the road already 2,000 years, they're still there, very strong. And today we're going to talk about the message of John 14:6. Let's read together. Jesus answered, "I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, this is how the Roman highway system is. You see, throughout. This is Portuguese and Spain. This is France. That's England. This is Italy. This is Balkan Peninsula. This. Greek and other nations, and this is a Turkey minor, and this is where Syrians and Lebanon, and this is a Israel, Arabic Peninsula a little bit, and then North Africa, all over. That's why Roman Empire can be very strong, because they have good road system. We do not call them highway as we have today, but actually that road is good for military vehicles, also good for the merchant troops. So you see that as this is that way, they want to hold that strong load, so the road has compact sand and the dry earth and the crushed rock, gravel in cement mortar, sand, gravel and cement, and the large stone slabs. Actually more than what I said. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 levels. And if they do not have cement, what they use is the sand with oil. They can actually seal it. So the water would not easily go down to damage the foundation. That's why you see both sides, they have drainage ditch. So this is actually very, very good design for the road. That's why in Galatians chapter 3, I think, when Bible says, "What time is fulfilled, Jesus came, became human being," and then when Jesus leapt up to heaven, and the church started, and when the gospel go through the Mediterranean nations, they can go through because the highway system, because the road Romans built, so. That this is another picture of the section of Roman roads. And then this is how the roads were built, you see. This is different ways they do it. They have measurements. They have different people try to make it solid for different level of a foundation. This is the last part. They use the heavy stone to make sure it is really heavily pressed. There is no gap, there is no air under. So they make sure, like today, if you know how the airport is built, airport needs to have that impact of takeoff and landing down, the heavy airplanes, those they need to have a very solid ground. So Romans built those with their efforts, and this is another part of the remains. You see, the upper building already damaged, but the road still there. And those are different nations. So these are all the Roman Empire. And compared to what the map, the roads were built, you see those empire, the central governments in Rome can control because they have very modern, actually we can say, very solid road system. And on the road, they have also different marks. This is the archway. This is the old city. So we, again, today's message focus on Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I hope that by the end of today, you can memorize this verse. Okay? For high schools, I was intend to speaking to the children so that they can remember them as well. So put the words in your heart, become a treasure. Whenever you need, God will put those words up through use Holy Spirit to remind you. So the passage we are going to read are those here on the PowerPoint. Let's read together. Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and encouragement they provide, we might have hope. 14:1-6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus, the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This church, this year we focus on connect to Jesus Christ, using Gospel of John, especially chapter 15. As in your bulletin, the theme passage is 15:1-5. I'm the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I'm in him, it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So connecting to Christ is our goal. How to connect to Christ? Today we focus on what he said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. So my sermon would be as the outline up there. Because Jesus gives us hope, as we read Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that the Bible has a purpose. It is not trying to show that you're sinners, you're hopeless. It is not try to just tell you that there will be judgment, there will be hard times. No. Bible is talking about hope. The hope is that during the desperate conditions humans have, you and I have, to face every day, there's a hope. The hope is in His Bible, in His Word. The Word has encouragement. The words give us hope that in God He prepares a way, that we don't need to go down. We do not need to be by ourselves, by our efforts. We need to turn to Christ, Jesus. We need to turn to God. He is our hope, and trusting Him has a word, has rewarding. It's rewarding. So that He is Jesus Christ, the way that we may come to Father, to God. And secondly, Jesus said, with Him we can go into the truth. And thirdly, through Him, He's the only way, the truth, He gives us life. You see, the way we do things, the way we react, become a pattern. And the pattern become who we are. If we raise up in a family which always fighting, that kind of family setting will give people a pattern thinking, okay, this is always the way, always the way. There's actually such a story, a pastor's daughter married to a lawyer's son. You know, the pastor house always peaceful and people forgive each other and have mercy. But the lawyer's house, the son learned from his father, always arguing to find reasons to get grounds to against each other. So when they both married, the husband, the lawyer's son thought, it's always out in the house. I learned to argue with you. So he always wants to argue with his wife. But the wife says, I will forgive you. So each time he comes to argue, he just forgive, not to argue back. So the husband felt, hey, you don't want to talk to me anymore? I don't love you. But the pastor's daughter said, I would still love you. So you see, the family's communication becomes a problem for a long time. Because they raise up different conditions. In different ways, their life become what the family raised up to be. That's the life we're talking about. The life means your inner character. The life means your value system. The life means how you see in future. The life you see how to yourself, how to relate to others. The life. The inner life. Not how you perform. Not how you earn money. How others see you. No. It's about how you see yourself. How God sees you. And how others see you too. So in conclusion, we will see that trusting Jesus, receiving as your personal Savior, we have access to near God because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We are able to come to God near Him because He is our Heavenly Father. Lawyers, pastors may raise kids differently, but our Heavenly Father has His standard. That's why Jesus says He is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's come to the point. How do we go from what we know? How do we go from what we heard to make connections with Christ from the beginning of this year? The first sermon I speak to both English and Chinese, I mentioned this verse. Hebrews 11:6, chapter 11, verse 6, let's read together. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So seeking Him not by your own focus to yourself, seeking Him by seeing who He is, seeking Him by seeing that He is the source, He is the provider, He is the one who knows everything. Seeking Him by turning our eyes upon Him. Turn away from ourselves, seeking Him by turning our eyes from focus on earthly things to focus on above. So that's why we need to come to the point that we know. Anytime even people come to church, we have this tendency. We look to others. How you can help me? How you can do this? How you would do that for me? We are so self-centered. But come to the church to worship is look to God. And through looking to God, we change our mindset. We change our point of view. Seeing from above,
to myself and see above, from above, to see others. That's how it is. Put our faith from above and looking down. Not from above, trusting ourselves, from a point of view to see God and to see others. This is a quite different starting point. We tend to have our starting point for ourselves because, as you know, this is a transparent, clear glasses. If you wear different color, like a pink, I will see everything with pink. If I have green or blue, I will have different color. That's to say that everybody has a pair of glass, inner glass. You screen out the things you don't want to see. You screen out the things you want, you screen in the things you want to see. That's why we need to change point of view to see God. That's why we want that kind of relationship with God, because that raises up our mindset. And the purpose of John, of the book of John, is recorded in John 20, 30, and 31. Let's read together. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, again, this mentioned, these two verses talks about relating to Jesus. He did so many miracles, signs is here. Signs in Gospel of John is actually miracles. It's a benchmark. It's an indication. It's a guideline. It's something pointing to something other than a miracle. If Jesus changes Bible to something else, we know that he's God. But it is not important that this something changed. It's who and why and how that happens. Who? God. What? Jesus did a miracle. Because he is God. So that's how the Bible says here in John. That's why we want to connect to Christ. He is God. In Jesus' time, during the time Gospel of John was written, there is such a background of thinking that Jesus Christ is just a human being. So they don't believe that Jesus is God. That's why John wrote Gospel of John. Focus on who Jesus is and the seven sayings of who I am. Jesus said, "One, I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the gate. I'm the true vine. I'm the resurrection and the life." Today, this passage talks about, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Those I am indicate that he's God. Actually, this I am is also used by Moses when God sent Moses to lead Israelites out of the bondage of tyranny of Pharaoh. Moses was not sure. How do I introduce get this mission? How can I have this authority? So he asked Lord God, how can I tell Israelites that you sent me? What is your name? Who are you? See, Moses was wise. He always traced back to the source. We need to have the Moses heart, mindset, always asking, who does this? Who does this? And he asked the right questions so he gets good answer. So God told him in verse 14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Or some other translation says, "I am that I am." The I am in Hebrew is a term that means he is always now. In eternity, that is always, there's no time for this way. In eternity, there is no time. He does not change. God does not aging. Aging is time. So that when God said to Moses, his message, God gave that man has a purpose, because God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And for Israelites in Egypt, God is also the God who heard their suffering. That's why in Exodus 1 and 2, God wants to talk to Moses. Because they were in trouble. That's the same way. The passage that we focus on today, chapter 14 of John, is the time Jesus said to his disciple, I'm leaving you. I'm going to die for you on the cross. They were not happy because they said, oh, for 3.5 years, Master, Teacher, Rabbi, Jesus, you are our teacher. You are not only teacher, you also did miracles. You also showed that you are God, you are powerful. We want you to be our Messiah. We want you to be our king. So, when Jesus said he's going away, the disciples were all panicked. That's why 14 verse 1 says, do not be puzzled. Your heart should not be troubled. When you are in this kind of situation, I don't know what happened to you now, but each and everyone has something you aren't sure. Especially if you're graduating, senior shock. And also, people are changing jobs. Oh, I don't have a job. Where can I go? I'm fired. I resigned. Or something else. Or some parents died. You know. Or someone is in serious sickness. What can we do? That's why the passage is important. During critical time, knowing God is God. God is the God I am. God never changed. Even our situation changed. God is the God who is in control. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can trust him. So, we see that it is also the way this passage, we can see it in three major points, that God prepared this way. Jesus said he's the way. His way is not our way. That's also that's in Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Let's read together here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the righteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For our thoughts are not your thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So this passage actually tells very clearly, Jesus said he's the way, he meant from the Old Testament, that his ways are not human ways. His ways are not wicked. His ways is righteous. His ways is hopeful. His ways is mercy. His ways is freely pardon, he's forgiving, and his ways lead us up, not that is let us down. So we need to seek his ways. So Jesus showed that, but his disciples understand? No, not no. They don't understand. That's why Thomas asked. We do not know where you're going. How do we know your ways? But Jesus said to him, I've been with you for so long, you do not know? That's possible. The other one was Judas Iscariot. He did not know why Jesus does did so many signs, so many miracles, he did not understand why Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mountain about the heavenly quality of human life, the heavenly relationship that Jesus has for us to be with him, and the purpose of having having a direction quite differently from what we used to be. So the difference is that Jesus is not just talking, he is the one who is with us. Have you ever experienced asking where to go? Where can I go? I am lost. Have you been lost and seeking where to go? Driving? Do you have an experience that even others told you, and you go, did you find directly? Nope. Many times I need to write down and match the direction. Many times I couldn't get it. And even GPS led me in different location and I need to go. So GPS may not be 100% dependable. The best way I found somebody, if they told me where to go and go along with me, showing where I need to go, especially driving on freeways, which turn into highway, freeway, which exits do I come in and go out. If that person drive before me or go along with me, then I will find, okay, this is the right way now. That means the best road director is the one who not only tell you how where the way is to go, but also go along with you or carry with you. So that actually this is what Jesus did. He opened the way. He lead us. Okay. He lead us. He died on the cross for us because our way to God has been blocked because our first parents, Adam and Eve, they were sinned, and the way to the tree of life being blocked. So only Jesus died on the cross. He opened us the way so that we can come to God. There'll be no hindrance. That's why Colossians 1, chapter 1, 20 said, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most high holy place by the blood of Jesus. So, go to God, go up, is not only just human efforts. Human efforts can go only very limited level. That's why there are so many philosophies, so many different religious practices, and seems to have some ground, some findings, but not far, and there's no direct way. Only through Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I'm the only way, because he was sending by Heavenly Father. He's God, and he come down to die on the cross for you and me. He opens the way. That's why Hebrew 10:20 says, and by new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. This is the higher road, and the highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. That's from Isaiah 35, verse 8. See, Jesus died on the cross. When he died, the curtain between holy and the holiness was torn apart. And the verse in Hebrew chapter 10 says, Jesus' body broken, that the way to Heavenly Father, to God, is open too. The same time. So Jesus' death actually washed away our sin. The block between us and God is our internal, our transgressions, our unclean heart, our sinful nature. So Jesus died, He opens the way that we can go. So each time now, when you come to Christ, personal prayer, come to church, the first thing what we need to do is to confess, Lord God, I am a sinner. I had a friend from Finland to Taiwan. She had a Bible study. Each time during the Bible study, she always tells people, make sure when come to God, first thing to do is to confess our personal iniquities, personal transgressions, personal darkness, personal sin, personal hardened heart. Ask God, ask Jesus to cleanse us. That, as Hebrews chapter 10 verse 10, that says, we need that open way. The way Jesus did historically, now we need to apply it every time we go to God. Every moment, even on your bed, or you're walking, or you're in your classroom, or even now. Lord, cleanse me. Why couldn't I go to sleep, even in the bed? I go to Jesus, saying, oh Lord God Jesus, I'm here. I need to have rest. But maybe I am not honoring you. Cleanse me. Jesus, I honor you. I confess, you're God. I don't deserve rest. You give me rest. I do not trust myself I can get rest. I only come to you. Lord Jesus, I need rest in you. When I say I need rest in you, when we say we need rest in you, means we stop our own efforts. You see, sometimes even try to get sleep becomes our own efforts. We count sheep. We try to get something to help us to get sleep, get exercise, get to do this, do that. That's your efforts. But the best way is to confess to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I need rest from you. I do not do anything to help myself. I trust Jesus. You know what? My wife said, even I had maybe just 15 minutes. She said, hey, that 15 minutes, you slept so soundly. You slept like a baby. For a short time, when I woke up, I feel refreshed. I find my physical and heart and mind be renewed. That means come to Jesus directly. Each time when you have hindrance in any way, in any place, in any situation, just call to Jesus. He is the way. Like Psalm 23 verse 3 said, He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. So this is the psalm that David wrote. He realized that Lord God is his shepherd. And in New Testament, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. That we can trust Him, we will find rest in Him. Lift your burden up to Jesus Christ. Give it to Jesus Christ. And you will find a true relief. You will not be so internally try to find, what can I do to improve my situation? What can I do to improve this, improve that? Stop that. Just try to honor Jesus. Otherwise, we put ourselves like, I can do this, I can do that. Even the faith formula, sometimes we see, read this verse will help me. No, it is not reading the verse. Come to listen to Sunday school will help you. No, it is not listen to Sunday school. Not even come to worship. Not even come to pastor's preaching. No, it is not. It is our inner connection with Jesus Christ saying, Lord Jesus, I need you now. That is a big difference. Thinking, making efforts, try to make connections with someone else. No, it is your internal connection to Jesus. Just have that desperate calling, yearning in us will give us this access to Jesus Christ. Like Peter, when he saw Jesus walking on water, and he said, "Lord Jesus, I want to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter starts walk on water. When that happens, when his daughter steps, he was okay. When he turned his eyes around the water, he said, "Oh, I'm walking on the water." He started to get sinking down. And guess what? This is his prayer was just not analyzing, "Oh, when I turn looking down and I thinking." No, his prayer was directly, "Hey, Jesus, save me." Not even, "Hey, Jesus, save me." Just call Jesus save. That's actually, you know, the meaning of Jesus is Lord God save. Savior. The original meaning in chapter 1 verse, Matthew chapter 1. The meaning of Jesus' name is Jesus save his people. Jesus come to save his people. Jesus, the name itself is save. So call Jesus. You get saved. In every desperate situation, in every situation. That means by faith. That means connect to Jesus. So, we call because we enter into a true relationship, the truth. Jesus is the truth. I was in a religious course in Temple University graduate school, PhD course, that talked about, is there a definite and absolute truth in the world? The professor denied. But some Christian friend we raised up said, no. Jesus said, he is the truth, capitalized. Jesus is the capitalized truth, the only truth. So that professor denied. See? Academics, academia. Those big hats think they have truth. They cannot claim that, so they deny Jesus is the truth. So Hebrew 1:3 said, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. As he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Ask Jesus. Jesus is the Holy One. Jesus is the one who came from above. His glory is shown because he has overcome sins and death and defeated Satan. Every darkness, every human are under his authority. So his majesty, he promised those who follow him shall know the truth. The truth shall give you freedom. He gives us freedom. This is comforting. He gives us truth. That's comforting too. Do you have that comfort? Do you always have the comfort? I think being a church of comfort, community church, is good because of this verse. You find comfort because Jesus said, your heart should not be troubled because he goes and he will come back. He is with us. Being a comfort community church member here, we are blessed. Always find comfort in Jesus' name, in Jesus' word, in the Bible. Go to Jesus always. Don't forget. And Jesus is the first comforting one. And the second one is Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 and 17. Jesus leaving, he asked Father to send another comforter, that is Holy Spirit. And through chapter 16, verse 7 on, I think through 13, tells about the person of Holy Spirit and his work. Let's read 7. "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will provide word to be in the wrong about sin and righteous and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, can see me no longer. About judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bow now bear. But when the Spirit truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. So, this is the person of Holy Spirit is coming from, He is the third person of God. God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit, the three in one. Jesus Christ, God the Son, followed the command of Father. He came, become human being. And when Jesus finished His mission, now this passage, He asked the Heavenly Father, send the third person, the second comforter, Holy Spirit, come down. And He's going to convict us for our sin, against His righteousness, to show that He's righteous and we are unrighteous. And thirdly, show the judgment. The final judgment will be for everyone. We must now come to cling through the blood of Christ. Otherwise, by last day, everybody who does not confess we're sinners before Jesus will carry our own burden of sin being judged. And then we'll be thrown into the eternal judgment, the fire and the undying box to into the torment forever. And through that works of convicting personal sin, His righteousness, and the eternal judgment, that Holy Spirit lead us to see the truth, the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God that we started talking about, it is not for pointing out, hey, whoever so-and-so, and ABC, whoever you are, your name is, you are in trouble because Bible says so. No, Bible says there's hope. If ABC, whoever you are in trouble, you are not able to pull yourself out. This is a good news. Jesus come to save. His name is Savior. He's saving now, and Holy Spirit is doing that. He girds our minds. He changes our mind, convinces us. That's why John the Baptist said, Jesus comes to baptize us with Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is the one who convicts who we are. So we need to know that Holy Spirit is the one, is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the place of His glory. Ephesians says that everyone who believes in Him has this Holy Spirit. Do you have Holy Spirit in you? Are you sure? If you understand God's word is comforting, if you understand God's word is convicting, if you know God's word is hopeful, you have Holy Spirit in you. If you know your eternal purpose, you have Holy Spirit in you. If you have a living relationship, Holy Spirit is with you. If not, ask God to let Holy Spirit be so true, internally change our mindset, change our purpose of life, change our value. So, knowing Christ as a truth gives us understand to make difference between right and wrong. Sorry, the right is not the correct word, without W. The truth guides us into see difference between value system to Christ. We have eternal value, the word itself, we have, will be in them. So fix our eyes up, now see the things down here. The Second Corinthians 4:18 says, we care for something eternal. Don't just care for outwardly, this worldly things. That will change. But in God, we obey His word. That fruit will be eternal. That's why sharing gospel will be important, because when someone's heart been changing by Christ, that'll be eternally valuable. When we obey God through His word, that'll be eternally valuable. So clearly, we have life. The life is from above. Jesus is the source of life. The beginning passage of John chapter 1 says, in Him the Word was created, and in Him all things has life. So the life is talking about the life relating with Jesus Christ. Okay? And the life gives us freedom. The life gives us an inheritance in God. John 8, 13 says, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." That refers to the system that during Jesus' time, they are households, they have slaves, and the slaves had children, but they were called the plantation, using American plantation time. Plantation children, not the family child. I just watched a story like this. Read that story that the owner has a baby with a slave girl. The same time, 1 year old or 2 years later, his wife has another baby. But when both girls grew up, guess what? The slave's girl will not be recognized by his father and his father's mother, who will say that you are our plantation child. That means here, the slave child will not be inheritance of the family. That girl cannot inherit anything from the family. Only the wife's child can inherit the family. So, what the Bible says here, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So that we are no more slaves. When we're sinners, we are the slave of this world of sin. But now, coming to know Jesus Christ, we have a heart of God. Born again by the Holy Spirit, we become the children of God. We have a status of being a son, a daughter of God. In the Bible, it has a different term called sonship. That with the status of being believing Jesus Christ, either you're male or female, we have the sonship titled. The title, being a son. That's a title, a status. That's not gender at issue. That's a spiritual relationship with God. So, spirit we received does not make us slave. Again, that we live not in fear anymore. We have the spirit that brought us adoption to sonship here, as 15. So, through Holy Spirit we call Abba Father. That's the way I read it, is application way to read it. So each passage, actually, you can use it for yourself and then change it from just reading in the Bible, become our prayer to God, become our declaration says, I am your son. So 15 I just read it, it's through my first person to God. So when you read Bible, that's another way to use the truth, the word, and you find a way to change our life. The Spirit himself testifies that with our spirit that we are God's children, and now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Being a Christian may not be easy, but this promise here says, you know, you want to search or seeking for eternal value things, we forget what is here, sometimes we suffer. But that suffering means something will be valuable in God's eyes, will be have eternal value. So that's the second point here said. So the last one, the difference of types of life will not match. That because coming to God, when we talk to connect to Christ, He wants us, our life to be totally changed. To be totally changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, let's read together. Brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So, the changed life, the life in Christ will prepare us to receive a resurrection body. The same way, now we can receive the blessing of the Bible, the promises of the Bible, by following Jesus, by believing Him, by obeying Him, our life starting to change. So the Holy Spirit is a renewal spirit. That's why Jesus said we can come to Him because Titus 3:5-7 says the status that He provides give us the cleansing relationship with God, the born again, the righteousness He provides, and this way Jesus give us the different internal structure and outside relations with Him. So that we have a different destination, which is above, which is that glorious home. So in conclusion, Jesus Lord the way on the cross, His blood cleansed our sin. His body broken up, but He opens the way. And the truth is that no other one can show us only Him, because He's the true God. And the third one is that the life in Him will be not just boring, it's a victorious life. Every day we need to see that in Christ we can overcome anything. In Him that we can have a direction quite different, because we can always call on the name of God, by the name of Jesus Christ to Abba Father. He is always with everyone who trusts in Him. Okay, now we want to invite Jessica come over to share your dedication, as this passage talks about of your summer plan. Jesus went to Urbana Mission Conference, and she decided to use summertime to honor God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you want.
Oh, okay. Hi. Oh, is there a... That's okay. I guess I don't have to.